Hey guys, Jabali here for another episode of the Jabodcast. I am currently in Chicago, Illinois. Last episode I had Kenny Omega over while I was in Japan. I came back from Japan, took about a week off to kind of acclimate to being home for more than a week. And then I booked a last minute trip 2 days ago to go to Los Angeles on Thursday for the Mortal Kombat 11 reveal in LA, which was an amazing time. Got an invite over from their community management team to check it out, and I had such a great time. And then right away, I took an overnight flight to come out to Frosty Faustings in Chicago, Illinois. Kind of a precursor tournament to the awesome Midwest community of Combo Breaker. And just came out here. I get to enter. I get to compete. So this is my like fun 2 days before I really get into the thick of things, putting CO together. But I entered Mystery Tournament, which is awesome, where they pick a random game every round. You don't know what it is until literally you sit down. And I'm in top 16 actually later today. So I got Street Fighter and Third Strike, did Super Turbo, did okay. I was like two away from making it into top eight. But yeah, so today my awesome guest is known as Katana Prime from the Mortal Kombat NRS community. He's also been a huge helper of CEO in the past. He also helps with Combo Breaker. You've done stuff at Final Round, a lot of events. He's also an amazing commentator. He's commentated a lot of major things. But yeah. Katana Prime, welcome to the show.
Hey, man, it's been a while, you know, starting with you and then coming back to be on a podcast. You wouldn't have asked me to do this like 5 years ago.
Yeah, probably. No, I would have had like other staff members being like, hey, let's talk about the shits that go down during events and all the problems you got to fix. But
Are we just keeping that to one event? Because we can make this podcast hours long.
Yeah. Oh, God. One of these episodes when running events and I can actually say what I really want to say, I'll let you guys know all the thick of things of what goes down at events. But no, they're relatively great because now we work with the same people across the board. What brings you to Frosty Faustings?
Just tournaments, man. I'm a huge supporter of the FGC in general. You know, I may specialize in Mortal Kombat, you know, Injustice, NRS, but with commentary and just branching out collectively, you know, did a lot of things with Dragon Ball over the, you know, past year in the Smash, heavy in the Soul Calibur community. I enjoy watching Tekken 7 more than any game, you know, that may be a surprise to some, but yeah, I just love fighting games in general, and amazing tournaments like Frosty bring me out. You know, I come to work, I get to do TO stuff here because you don't let me do it at your events anymore.
That's not true.
That's not true, but production, anyway, enough about that.
Yeah.
And I get to compete, you know, still. I'm at that line where I'm still a good player. I'm a better commentator now for sure, but I'm not completely washed up. So in the off season, I guess, of this era of Pro Tours, I get to come out and have fun just amongst the regular.
Which only lasts like 2 months now.
Yeah.
It used to be a lot longer. Like I always say, like back in the day, like 5-6 years ago, it was like once Evo was done, everyone was on a break for 6 months. Then you had the NECs, the Summer Jams, and then the smaller events besides those. Those were actually pretty good for the Northeast.
Yes.
But you just play in those, have fun, no stress of a pro tour or anything. Now, it's like December had like four events. I was in, you know, five different countries in the course of 3 weeks.
Peace.
Only a couple more events, summer vacation I needed. And then I spent all my money in Japan and now I'm broke. But anyways, so let's talk about first how we first met, actually. You have been a huge helper at events. You're one of those guys, and I always tell people, like, how do I get you? People ask me, like, how do I get your attention? How do I get paid, or how do I staff at your events? I'm like, just step up, man. I'll notice it. I notice everything. I see everything. I go out of my way to show appreciation to people that do work that don't, you know, you don't really know that they're doing work, or the general public doesn't know. But I actually personally don't remember the first time we actually met, which event it was. Maybe it was like a Final Round, or I think it was probably one of the local events. Do you remember?
Okay, I do actually. CEO 2012 was my first event.
Stupid. Yeah.
We didn't meet there. I knew it was your tournament, like I found out eventually, but I was just going hard, and I felt like I saw the volunteers calling people, and I'm really good with names. So I saw a tournament. I just started helping, not knowing that I really shouldn't, or, you know, not stepping on people's toes. I just wanted to help the event because I found something I loved instantly, not knowing what the hell was going on in fighting games. Then CEO 2013, when I came back, one of your longtime staff members in Mikey Rivera, he saw me, like, going in, and he pulled me to the side, and he was like, yo, what's your name and everything. Like, I see you running back and forth and doing this and extra and all that. And I was like, I just want to help. So he actually pulled me real quick. You were in between, like, something was happening, you know, in TO world where you have to pull every second. Boom, boom, boom. And in one of those transitions, he was like, yo, Alex, I want to show you, know, this Brian. He's been helping out. Boom, boom, boom. He was like, all right, yeah, talk to me after. And it was real quick, real gone. So we actually didn't get to talk then. At another event we did.
I ran into
you a year later. Yeah. At UFGTX. And this is during Injustice 1 days. And he said, wait, like, you recognize me. I'd been helping. They put me on staff there. Then the whole you, Rick Keys, I was, like, going around absorbing, trying to learn TO shit. 2014 CEO, you saw my work. And at the end of the event, you came to me and you said, do you want to run like NRS for me? And I was like, yeah, done. And then the next, every year, it was just, I got the call. This is what we're doing, CEO.
Yeah.
What do you need? Boom, boom. And that's it. And you don't have to worry about it. And we're good.
Reminds me, I need to add you into the major staff chat that's nobody's in.
Yeah.
For this year's planning.
It's all good.
But yeah, no. Yeah, dude, you always stepped up. And then, yeah. And then I remember like final round, the 1 year where they were just overcrowded and stuff. You stepped up, handled that. Oh. Kind of helped out with Killer Instinct in the morning.
Yes.
And stuff. But you're just, you know what to do, man. Under pressure. And that's what you need. That's a skill that you really can't teach. It's, you're kind of born with it. To just under the pressure. And I've run into TOs that get frustrated and stressed out doing an event, or they're, you know, they're sweating. And now I've been doing this so long that I don't really stress anymore. I'm just like, all right, Monday night I get to sleep again. Let me get through this. And,
yeah.
But now the trust I have with all you guys for stepping up, especially you on the NRS side and stuff. But before like FGC stuff, were you always a gamer? Like what was your first gaming memory? What did you used to play?
Okay, so I definitely like have always been a gamer. Fighting games, I was a casual button masher, all of that, as you would expect, before I found DFGC in 2011. I'm not even an 09.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, yeah. So, I, you know, my first
one was
2012, 30.
Okay.
Yeah, I just look like this. Anyway, my oldest memory is getting a Super Nintendo for Christmas in the early 90s, and Super Mario World was my game. I played that game forever. Every time Nintendo re-released it, like a dummy, I spent my money, and I will continue to do so. Kirby All-Stars, like, games of one, seven games, whatever it was. I was huge on platformers. I loved those. And then I got into RPGs. And Final Fantasy IX, actually, was the one that just, all right, this is
nice,
it. Like, yeah. I'm not getting away from video games ever. This is my escape. And I grew up real rough. You know, Project Kid, violence, drugs, all that. Like, you name it.
You've always been in Florida?
Always. South Florida my whole life. And to stay out of the streets and to focus, you know, on books and in school and everything, I played video games. So I love storytelling. RPGs are my favorite type of genre. But as a smart guy, because I was like a gifted student, fighting games were another level. It's like chess.
Yeah.
If you had to move every second. And this huge psychological aspect that got me interested. So that was my jump into like multiplayer. Like, okay, I want to play with people now. Because we played our shooters and our sports games. But that's just, you know, there's no like depth. You play it once, it's over. Fighting games forever evolving. And the same matchup you played in 2012, you play it now, and it's like, whoa, it's a whole different game, even if nothing has changed.
I was in Super Turbo, and finally, I actually lost the two Hondas. One, my stick malfunctioned. The guys, you want to play it again? I'm like, nope, rules are rules. It malfunctioned,
sure.
You win. And another guy went to the very last hit. I tried to counter with Guile and stuff. But before that, when I lost the other guy, I was like using Ryu and old Sagat. And the guy's like, you know, you can do this, this, and that. I'm like, I never knew. Like,
yeah.
I don't play that game enough.
Timeless.
Religiously, but just, you're still always learning stuff, especially in that game and a lot of fighters, right? But now, like, Super Turbo is a timeless game. Street Fighter 4, you know, we went so many years with it, so you can still learn stuff. The games now, it's like, there's a new iteration or a new sequel right away. It's like, oh, that game's over. Let's learn the next one.
Yeah.
So it's kind of harder. Like, you know, Mortal Kombat 1, 2. You do that. And we'll talk about Mortal Kombat 11 and stuff soon. But it's like 9 came out 3 years later. The cycle, right? 9, then Injustice 1, then 2, or 10, then Injustice 2. And now they took a little while to announce MK11, which I thought was perfect.
I agree, too.
Yeah. So everyone's like, it's got to be announced next year. And then as a TO, it's common sense. Like, we just know these things. We don't know release dates. Like, I am signed under a lot of NDAs, but these companies do not tell me this game's coming out then. Could it be at CEO or anything like that? I just assume as a fan, and then I just pay attention, like, when's this going to come out? And then kind of have an idea of, like, it's going to be announced at E3, or now all these companies are doing their own events, like MK just did. So, you know, like you were saying, video games were an escape. Like, for me especially, Final Fantasy VII was probably my first, like, major RPG that I just fell in love with. I used to play the old Final Fantasies, Dragon Warriors, Dragon Quests, Zelda, all those games, action RPGs. But did you play Final Fantasy VII,
yes,
or
I
9
did.
Was your first one?
No, okay. Nine was my first one, and then I retroactively played all the PS1 ones and everyone since.
Yeah, so, and 8, everyone, you know, it says it's underrated, but it's all right.
I love 8.
Yeah, no, I love the card game, Tetra card game I used to play. And then they made an iPhone app for it, but I haven't played it in a while. Actually, shoot, it reminds me. But yeah, so you got into all that, and then the FGC. So before CEO, were you just like going to local events, or were you traveling outside events?
No, like, actually, the beauty of it, and it's crazy because I run into a former, you know, writer there. I was randomly on IGN one day, just randomly, and this is like 2011 at some point, and they were running a story talking about Evo, and they were replaying the Street Fighter 4 Grand Finals of with Justin Wong and Daigo the first time around.
The Balrog and Abel.
And I watched it, and you know, I saw, like, spacing. I didn't know what any of these terms are, and I'm seeing Hadoukens, I'm seeing Ryu mirrors, and I did the worst thing one could do, which was read the YouTube comments, right? And I was like, oh, they're just spamming fireballs. My cousin could beat them. But me being an intellectual, I say, well, what is it about the way these two throw fireballs that allow them to beat everybody else? Something is deeper here. So I've watched that like a million times and still didn't understand. But this is 2012, by the way. It's like May or June-ish. And I go, damn, I remember as a kid, I played Mortal Kombat more than like any fighting game. I wonder if they have these events. So I YouTube, you know, Mortal Kombat tournament, and Power Up 2011 pops up on Spooky.
In Ohio, yeah.
Yeah.
You went to that?
I did not. It was the video that popped up, and it was like his most viewed video at the time. Million views, Perfect Legend versus Tom Brady. I watched that. My life changed. I was blown away, and I said, damn. Because I don't drive, and you know, I'm broke. I've never flown anywhere, and I'm like, I wonder if they have like tournaments in Florida, like boom. And this is May, end of May, early June. And I look it up and CEO pops
this
up.
This is 2012?
2012, okay. 2012, yeah. I got my days wrong when I watched the video. And I said, there's no way. This says Orlando. I can get to Orlando, you know, no matter what. So I frantically just start searching everything. Just like a week or something before the event. You know, back in the days when you didn't close registration as early.
Got to now, yeah.
And it's funny, I had like a little bit of student loan money left, and instead of preparing for my last class that I needed to, I took the money and registered for your tournament. And I found one of my boys. I said, I only need one person like me, and I just want to go. I said, if it's in Florida, somebody has to play Mortal Kombat. I only need one person.
Yeah.
So I went on the forums, like joined. People gave me the run around. I ran into a dude who told me, he said, you know what? You might as well not waste your time. Mortal Kombat is dead. So right then and there, I could have gave up. And I was like, well, I'm only looking for one person, so I don't give a fuck if it's a two-man tournament. Yeah. I'll be there. And I found Newbie, who's like a 6'5 giant, you know.
I've known Ozzy for many, many years. I remember the first time I met him. Gosh, like, Ozzy is he was a huge Marvel 2 player when I first met him. Awesome player, one of Florida's legends when it comes to old school school Marvel 2, really. He plays all the other stuff as well, Mortal Kombat. And, God, I remember a time I'd see him at the locals. He'd bring the big MK stick.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I had one, but I finally got rid of it. But they literally brought a true-to-life, like, Mortal Kombat stick with a block button in the middle. But that thing was, like, one of the heaviest sticks you'd ever seen with a hap stick and everything. And I'm like,
bashing
and
on
he
it.
Was the only one to, like, carry that around because to him it still looked like a controller in his hand because he was such a big dude. But, yeah, so Ozzy, and Ozzy's a good friend of mine,
too. Just messaged him, like somebody directed me to him because he was in Miami, the closest person to me. I was down at Homestead at the time. And I messaged him. I don't know him that day. I'm like, yo, I heard about this tournament. I'm trying to go up. Like, I know you don't know me. Boom, boom. And he's like, oh, well, I need to go down to that area to pick up a part for my car. Literally the day of CEO Friday, I met him there and we rode up and that was that.
Did you win or how'd you do that tournament?
I got ninth. It's my destiny. I actually hate you. I've got ninth as CEO three times, and I'm a huge wrestling fan. I don't care about the money. I just want the entrance. And then over the years when we did the locals and the regionals, Gods Amongst and all that, I got second at every one of your tournaments, but I go to Tampa and win.
Get good, man.
Jesus. I can't. You hate me. It's clear.
I don't hate you. It's up to you, man.
Anyway, I got ninth, and I lost to Ozzy twice.
Oh, ha! Double jeopardy.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy,
your training,
but it was the greatest thing ever, man. You had a wrestling ring in the middle. I'm like, what is happening? I saw all these games. Like, I couldn't believe I was in a vicinity full of people like me, and to watch like Marvel 3 was happening at the time, and Street Fighter 4. Like, you know, and this is crazy too. I just want to add this in. I don't usually have like huge inspirations and stuff like that, but it's crazy. I saw Mike Ross, and I was like, all right, so this dude's entertaining. Everybody loves him. He's good at the game.
He breaks cages.
He can do commentary and everything. And I'm like, I can do all of that. I know I'm not there yet, but if he can do it, I know I can. And that's what set the pace for what I wanted to be moving forward the whole time.
He's, you know, Mike Wright, he's actually here, by the way, playing Guilty Gear.
Really? I've never had a conversation with him.
He goes by the nickname Waxel at some events. I haven't seen him yet. He's been laying low, but he's doing great.
Yeah, I don't want to rush, like, run up on him, but I would love to.
Like, you having fun, man? Yeah.
I would love to talk to him one day just on some...
He's a great guy. He actually, when it was the early days of Cross Counter, so I did CO 2010, right, when we repaired that event that was broke, like, got canceled, and I did it. Not much promotion into it, just, you know, Florida's running an event, guys, 300 people showed up or whatever, and then the rest is history that you all have heard many, many times. But that event was 2010, but then 2011, I reached out, and like, you know, I need to get promotion, so I reached out to Gutex and Mike Ross, and they were two of the first guys to really support CEO, and Justin Wong as well. Those three guys basically told everyone in America, like, go check out the CEO event, give it a chance, and now look where we are.
For sure.
But so if you didn't come till 2012, 2011 was probably one of my favorite years, right? I was the first CEO, but Mortal Kombat 9, Chris G and Tom Brady and the final Sub-Zero versus Reptile and stuff, and Chris G was the multiplayer then, and then He didn't even get Marvel and Street Fighter both won by Tokido that year.
Yep.
With Justin Wong in both. I think they were both in the finals. Yeah. But 2012 is a lot of my staff's favorite year, with Daigo's first year coming to CEO, Super Turbo, super hype, where one of my favorite stories is James Chen got like second place, but when he got to the finals, Daigo looked at him and was like, "You made it?" And James couldn't stop laughing. Everyone was dying. All my friends remember that.
That's too good.
He's like, "You too here?" Good. Yeah. Because not many people knew about the tournament at the time. Yeah. It was a part of tournament legend stuff. But and then, you know, the rest is history. But yeah, when I first met you, just, I want to do the shit, you know. But to hear that about like Mike Ross and just, yeah dude, all you need is one person to start a community, honestly, in this game. And then you have online, right? The online, give or take. But NRS has been not bad since MK10. Their online was solid. I was playing a lot online. Katana Prime. Obviously, you use that name Katana because you're really good with Katana. I mean, she was really broken and she carried you. But why'd you come up with that name? Did you have a nickname before KP?
So it's crazy. All right? This is just terrible. But we'll do this.
Scrub Prime and then Katana?
No, it wasn't even Prime. It was actually horrible. So you know when you create an Xbox Live gamer tag, they just give you two random words and then you get the free chance to change it whatever you want? Well, I never changed it. So the tag was, and the only person who knows this is Forever King, because he was the one guy I played online with before all this FTC. And he remembered me, and it was Phantom Stars 21. It's terrible, but I never changed it. So the day of CEO,
I used to create so many Xbox accounts because of all my systems for the events, and I would just use the random name they gave too.
So when I was going to CEO, I was like, "Yo, people are gonna call me this, and like if I get on stream, I can't be named this." So I knew I wanted to be one of the best Katana players, you know, eventually. But I didn't want to come out like I was some cocky dude, because I am humble, believe it or not. And I wanted to be recognized as one of the best. And I say, you know, what's a race? Well, you look at the Transformers, the prime race or collection of like the greatest, you know. So, Optimus is the man, but the primes in general are just gods. So put it together. Yes, I named myself after a 10,000-year-old princess with no shame. And it worked, and it stuck. Yeah, KP's real short, KP everything.
And,
yeah,
and your real name is what?
Bryant. Bryant Bensing.
So you named yourself, and then you stepped up, and then, yeah. So before we talk about MK11 and stuff, what's coming, MKX, you played 9.
Yes,
well,
9
is when you were better. Not better, but you were winning more in 9 with the time, or was it 10?
Well, I would say I've gotten better every game. 9 was, like, extremely hard. It was not the bigger numbers, but every single person was good. So, like, I got a couple top 16s. You know, that was me learning the ropes of the FGC. I didn't travel as much. MKX, same thing, a bunch of top 16s, but could never crack like top animation. It was crazy, man. Yomi was everywhere. Yeah. And then you know,
I haven't heard their name in a little while. What's
going on? They were in Huge and Injustice. Yeah. And then everyone knows who Sonic Fox is. It was just rough, man. MKX was hard. You know, we're getting the 10K pop bonuses at every major.
Yeah.
So it was no games. And it was just tough competition. But, you know, towards the end of MKX and like Injustice 2, you know, I've been definitely better, you know, top 8s, you know, all over the place, and going more into the commentary role, but like still getting
How
better.
Did you get into the commentary role? Let's talk about that.
All right, so
what was your first event? Do you remember?
I do, actually. It was the Fall Classic, the first one.
Oh, TFC?
TFC for Injustice 1. They needed commentators. I'm a guy who, from the outside looking in, I was like, man, I feel like I could put my touch on this and bring a little more excitement to it, to running brackets, to commentary, to being a community figure, to being a leader. You know, there's so many things, so much responsibility that
What's that
I
like?
Would take.
I don't know.
I don't know either. but I went to TFC, and they was like, yo, we need somebody on the mic. I said, boom, here's my chance. So I sucked at the beginning. That's just facts. I was trying to force it. I was doing too much, and I really didn't understand what commentators who were natural at this meant by be yourself. Like, that's really what you do. So I would go to events where slots were open and use those as practice, because we didn't have, like, streamed locals at the time. We played locally, but we didn't stream. So I used that to hone my skills, kept going, and, you know, here's a pool here. Here's a top 32 here. Like, progressive. Like, you know, I didn't know anybody. You know, I didn't have connects, nothing like that. And then towards the end of Injustice 1, they were like, okay, this guy's good. Who is this? MKX came out. I just kept up content, boom, boom, boom. Then you were editing one of the footage at one of the Gods and Monsters regionals at MKX, and you were like, is this you?
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, yo, this is really good. Yeah. And I'm like, well, thank you. I've never commentated CEO, by the way, in 4 years, you know.
Yeah.
Let's change that this year. I get in there, boom, boom, boom. Seg hears it. Who is this
For
guy?
Seglia, as you've heard him in my body, he's a producer, and he's a guy where a lot of people are like, hey, how do I commentate to you? I'm like, put together a reel.
Which I did.
And if I like it, I'll pass it to Chris, go listen to it. And if he likes it, boom, there's your, you know, opportunity. Now we got so many great commentators, and it is a challenge to kind of break in, but start locally, honestly.
For sure.
And then if an event comes to your region, you're going to be number one pick every time.
And once they heard me, he was like, yo, who are you? Where have you been? Do you only do NRS? I was like, yeah. He's like, all right. And the more I talked to him, I wish you did more games because, like, you got a gift. All right, here we go. Now I'm doing Dragon Ball. Now I'm doing Soul Calibur. I'm going into Smash. Like, the expansion is very real. And it's because I love it. I just have to be, like, invested in the game. So,
But do you feel like you'd rather be a player at this point, or do you like the commentary? Because since you're never going to win anything, it's better to just get paid. No, I'm just kidding.
True.
No. Like, how do you feel? Because, like, for me, it was hard up until, like, 2013 to not compete.
It's still hard.
I still, like, I'm here competing in events, you know? And I'm still doing okay. And people sit down, like, you're Jabali? I'm like, yeah. Like, they would, like, shake. I'm like, dude, I'm rusty. Don't worry about it. I was like, yeah, I just respect you and yada yada. I'm like, don't respect me in this fucking game, you little bitch.
Yeah, it's, like, the hardest thing to do because, like, I'm still good. If I could just get washed up and start going 0-2 and stuff, like, the decision would be easier.
Yeah.
But I shouldn't sit and play casuals and, like, go even with, like, the best players in the world, you know, or come close. If an event outright tells me beforehand, like, yo, like, we'll play, but you can't play, like, okay. But if you – I'm going to ask you. If you let me play, I will. Yeah. And I try to make sure – like, I'm super flexible, and so I don't mess up production too bad. Occasionally, I go too far, but, like – that's why you have backups and all that. And if there's an issue, I'll sit out. Cool. But it's hard, man. Like, I love – like, I'm probably the better commentator now. No, for sure. No, free. Like, I'm definitely a better commentator. But, like, playing is like – is
he's scratching his arm.
It's just in my blood. Like, I can't – you know? Like, I see gameplay and, like, my whole body just – I don't know, man. I'm such a unique character because I try to look at people to see, like, the people before me to do it. But I don't know anybody who plays at a level, commentates at a level, you know, still organizes, still, like, a leader in the community. Yeah.
I used to step up when I would do locals, guys. I'm like, hey, do I host Mortal Kombat? KP's like, I'll bring everyone from Miami. And you'd bring everyone from Miami and run the event.
Yeah,
like, done. But yeah, so it is like it's a hard juggling act, right? But it's like now commentary can be guaranteed money to get you out to these events and stuff.
Sure.
Playing is still stressful for anyone. And stuff like that. But so, you know, Mortal Kombat 10 passed and then back to Injustice 2 and you were good at Injustice. What character were you using?
I played Harley and Wonder Woman. You know, fighting game tell you a lot about a man. I like annoying women. Strong ones. So, like, there you go.
Yeah,
Every game, I play annoying women with air projectiles.
Yeah.
That's my style.
Before we get into MK11, I keep, like, spacing it out. What do you like to do besides all this shit? Because, you know, like me, this is my love, my passion now.
Yeah.
Same for you almost. But
it is.
When you don't have time away from games, where you're just like, I need a little quick break, like, what do you like to do in your off time?
It's crazy. When I'm at home, like, I'm at home. Like, I talk to everybody. When I make sure I introduce myself, all the new faces, all the parents, the little kids come through me, like, everything. I want to make sure people feel welcome. But when I'm home, I'm like, out. I'm either playing, like, non-fighting games to escape. I listen to a lot of music.
What's the last game you were playing, single player game?
Kingdom Hearts 1. I'm trying to.
Dude, it's so hard.
I know.
I have 3 pre-ordered. I played 1, 2. I played Chain of Memories, Birth by Sleep, Dream Drop Distance. Yeah. I played them all, for the record, guys, if you're listening. I'm listening to the new Hikari. I can't say her name right now. The new Face Your Fears with Skrillex just came out yesterday morning. It's been on repeat. And the guy I'm sharing a room with, I'm in the shower and it's just playing. And I'm always like, are you going to stop listening to that song? Like, when a new song I love comes out,
crazy.
I listen to it for like 3 days straight and then I'm done.
All right, so I've listened to The Weeknd's Lost in the Fire for like 2 hours straight this morning. And I like read, like, Coach Steve, I'm like, yo, you have to deal with this. This is what it is. Like, sorry. But Kingdom Hearts 1, like, RPGs at home. And, like, you know, I talk to my family and stuff, like, outside of gaming, because they know what I do, but it's just like...
Are they supportive of it?
They are.
Yeah.
They're, like, the only ones who still call me Bryant, because, like, nobody in the world calls me Bryant. And I just try to, like, catch up on media. And I'm in a lot of streams. I'm a huge stream monster. Like, I'm a visual learner, so I'm watching all these fighting games and just lurking everywhere, just not having to be KP at all times. So I'm just a loner. I'm a homebody when I'm not doing this tournament.
I mean, the best workers, man, are the best fans as well.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Dude. So let's get into the last part of this podcast.
Sure.
Mortal Kombat 11.
Yes.
They finally revealed it. You, unfortunately, weren't there.
Couldn't make it.
I was, because you're here for Aussie's helping out.
Mm-hmm.
I went there at the last second because I was like, I'm probably going to miss out on swag. I'm going to miss out on some cool shit. Meet some celebrities. Some of my wrestler buddies were there, Cody Rhodes and stuff. And I got awesome swag and I flew out overnight there. And I got to figure out how to get it home on Frontier where you got to pay for everything.
Yeah, good luck.
Everything you bring. But so you watched it, obviously.
All of it.
I was there. I only played about 40 minutes of it. I waited in the line to play it for about 40 minutes. I liked it. They definitely toned it down a bit. There's no more like rushing. You're not stuck in a juggle combo where you got a combo break out of it and stuff. But So I'm looking forward to it. I gravitated, excuse me, towards Garrus, which has this like amazing time scamming thing. And I was one of the first characters in a video game to have a timer scam move. I would pull out my bobblehead and go, check out my bobblehead. And it's me holding it. And then the time freezes for 2 seconds. And if you're in a lead or closer to like the middle line, you could get up to like 4 seconds worth of timer scan. This character can reverse time for 4 seconds, and then he can add 30 seconds or take back 30 seconds. And just watching, I'm like, dude, it's like Mercy from Mortal Kombat 3 and stuff.
Oh my God.
Dude, I would love to just like be beating somebody and go, you know, you could have your 4 seconds back. But I didn't see if that was possible, like to give them a chance to beat you up again. But such a cool character. What did you think of the reveal? Like any characters you're already kind of looking at, but compared to MKX, like obviously as soon as a good player plays a game, they compare it right away to the last one, right?
Absolutely.
Like, what's different? Like, what have you noticed? Like, what are you looking forward to?
I love the slow down pace and the seeming focus on neutral. You know, fighting games in the past couple of years have gone to like super offensive rush heavy, mix, let's just kill everybody. And they have toned it down. NRS likes to change things up every game. And they've somehow seemed to innovate enough but still retain the MK flair. And I'm just excited. I'm actually, like, and it's probably a super hot take, I think guys from, like, other traditional fighting games are going to come in and be really good. And they're going to mop, like, some of, like, the mainstays. Top-level guys are still going to be top-level guys, don't get me wrong. But don't be surprised if you see, like, you know...
Well, Justin's done good in the past in Mortal Kombat.
Could you imagine Justin with Garrus timing people out? Stop. That's his character. Stop.
Ultra Dave, 16-bit community guy who works at NRS. He was the best one giving demos of the game in the demo area. And as soon as Ultra David went up to Ultra David, like, he goes, so by the way, this is the character select screen. See that guy at the bottom? That's you. And David, like, picks. He's like, yep, that's me.
Go ahead. Guys who are more neutral-based, because it's a lot of individual buttons, you know, a lot of recovery on whiff pokes and stuff that I'm seeing in the frame data that's been shared. No crazy, outlandish 50-50s that lead into restands and vortexes and huge damage. Like, they really toned it down. Universal wake-up options, offensive, defensive options, which are very scarce, specifically in Mortal Kombat games.
Like flawless blocking, right?
Oh, that's beautiful.
Like a just defend or just a parry. But what do you get out of that? Just a plus frames
on? Well, you take significantly less chip damage, and you recover faster.
Oh, you still take chip damage even with it?
Okay. But significantly less, and you recover faster, which people are complaining about zoning and looking at projectiles. Imagine
there are chip kills in this game, right?
Yes.
With normals as well?
We didn't see it, but historically they always have.
Yeah.
But with just flawless blocking against projectiles, that's going to give you the space you need to move forward. Like, it's going to get so deep in the meta and everything. I just can't wait. I hope, you talk about Mercy, I hope they add that a game. Not just Garrus, but like just...
Because
imagine like Sonic as CEO just giving somebody Mercy and then they beat him. They're not gonna give it back, and then you have to hold that. That's a tournament loss. Yeah. Like,
I mean,
could you imagine that?
I did it all the time in 3 in the arcade.
With money on the line and with the high stakes of today's world, like I couldn't imagine. But I'm just hyped for all the new faces it brings in, because this is just what it is. Mortal Kombat is gonna be ridiculous at launch, and my job, I'm just looking to retain as much of that as possible and give people an opening to what our world is like. And how great it can be.
Do you think the gore keeps people from playing it?
Like, I do.
I actually had a kid DMing me. My DMs are now open on Twitter because people always have questions about CEO and stuff. So I check it like once a day. Mm-hmm. And he's like, hey, I'm 16 years old. Am I allowed to enter?
Was that Emperor? Is that Combat Killer?
Yeah, Combat something.
Yeah, that's him. He's messaging all of us because he's afraid he won't be able to compete.
And I don't remember like hosting the Mortal Kombat series if there was an age thing. But in my event... You have to be at least 13 or older to compete. Yeah. There's some exceptions we've made with parental consent and then. But yeah, with your parent, you're okay. But yeah, he's like, I just want to be sure to enter. I've always wanted to go to CEO. I'm excited for MK11 and stuff. I'm like, you'll be fine at my event unless the tour tells me otherwise. Yeah, you should be okay. And plus, usually we always tell me, like, if you're under 16 or whatever, if you win money, your parents got to be there. But that never really comes up because you assholes keep taking all these kids' lunch money.
This is NRS. The kids 20 and under win everything.
Yeah,
you
want
the last 5 Evo champions, 20, 19, 18,
yeah, that's
18,
great, 19. Man. Bro. They just got to keep it up. And
Combat just turned 16, so he's just going to be a top player for years to come. Yeah.
Could you imagine getting a fake ID just so you can compete in a tournament? Not even alcohol
that
or
would
smoking.
Be godlike.
Or yeah, here's my ID. I'm like, this looks legit. Go ahead.
Pull that up in Vegas, the Evo. Like, I'm totally, show the cannons.
And
I deserve it.
You got to be over 21 to enjoy Vegas for what it is, but I see a lot of kids go like at 19, 20, and they're just like, I'm miserable. I can't have fun. Like, dude, just watch other people and waste their money. It's okay.
Absolutely.
MK11, I'm sure Katana's going to be in it. They're already gearing up. How many characters are on that screen? Like
25 were on the screen from what I saw.
You know they're going to do DLC.
Absolutely.
What guest character do you think you're going to be? I keep hearing Pennywise.
That's what people want the most. Spawn's the...
Pennywise would be cool, but... I mean, seeing Negan and Tekken, it's like, yeah, this is going to happen. Yeah. But, like, Pennywise would be cool, but, the sequel's coming out, so never mind when the kids are adults in that
and
one.
And these are all WB properties, so, it's a no-brainer at that situation.
Spawn would be odd, but Spawn's already been done in games, and I think a lot of fighting game developers, like, they're always thinking, like, what can we do that hasn't been done before? It's not, hey, that character's in a game, let's make him better. That's usually never a case.
Yeah, with Knowing Mortal Kombat, last time we got both Alien Predator and Jason. So we got Freddy and K-9. Yeah. You know, a bunch of guys' characters, and they do really well DLC-wise.
Michael Myers hasn't been in one yet, right?
He has not.
Okay, I mean, the Halloween just came out. They'll probably make another season. I mean, I watched it. They went back to the 80s, like, stock around. I'm just watching. I'm like, dude, just pick up a cell phone. Dude, like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. with all of the properties that WB owns, especially horror, like, these are easy, like... It's not even cash grab. Like, people want to play these characters, you know? Yeah.
Turtles came out in Injustice.
Yes.
And it blew up, but barely anybody really used them in tournaments.
Yeah,
right?
It was weird. But the casuals, you know, the people who played are still playing, you know, Multiverse and all of that, had a lot of fun.
Our scene is like 2% of the people that buy these Mortal Kombat
Even know if it's even that. Yeah. We're definitely like...
Mortal Kombat 10 had like 10, 5 million
like 5,
sales.
6 million copies, yeah.
Injustice was like 3 million or something crazy.
Ridiculous.
And then the single player mode is awesome. Always.
So much content. And that's the funny part. Like, the reveal we got so much at once, but knowing how NRS packs these games, we haven't even scratched, like, we don't
it's
know
a reveal,
anything.
Guys. It's like nothing's been announced.
So it's actually going to get crazier and crazier as it go. You know, us competitive guys, we're just longing for our characters and you know, under the hood stuff.
I mean, I'm a Katana player as well, actually. So.
Yeah, oh,
and
I know.
The ball
I remember.
Was teased.
The good old Jabali Katana I saw, you know, at one of the teams.
Like,
was the first
bad.
TNS. It wasn't. Yeah. You know, it was a fun fact, too. Knuckle Dude was a Katana player, too, as well. Yeah. That's actually
Knuckle
wild.
Dude were at some, like, Gainesville tournament. And I think he barely beat. We were first and second place.
Yeah.
And Street Fighter, two different games, and I was still good.
It's crazy. I'd be there for everything trying to defend. But I'm just excited for the content. And they always try something new, you know, going forward. The online's gotten better and better. This time they're actually doing simultaneous launch, like all four platforms.
Yeah.
I wanted to see how the Switch version is going to go out, because now it can be on planes, like labbing and everything. This may be a long shot, but I'm hoping for cross-platform net play. You know, I might be going too far.
Rocket League just did it.
Yeah, but...
A couple other games are starting to do it because Sony's finally coming on board. But,
yeah,
it'd be huge. And NRS,
they definitely have the guys who can do it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, you know, and as a tournament guy, I'm hoping that they get more into the flow of, you know, this is a big controversy. People talking about the quick rematch thing. Where, like, you know, for tournaments,
dude,
you want
to
cool
it's
down.
A freaking reveal event. We want to see this shit.
Yeah.
Like, stop pausing. And I actually made a tweet. It's got, like, 20,000 views about Scorpion's win animation. It's
oh, my God,
extra
dude.
Shit.
Stop it.
It's so good.
I would love to see that, too. And that calm down. You get the time. And as a commentator, too, that gives us more time to tell the story of the players. Give you a reason to care about
the gameplay. Dude, I'm
going to
invoke the pause rule, even if you've already won the match, if you pause.
That would be fire. I would invoke it. You know, I've DQ'd Floridians at locals.
Dude,
like, I don't care.
Me, myself, at locals, and when I fade, I'm like, finish him! Like, really loud in the background.
You definitely screamed that when I was losing at your tournament. I'll never forget that. It was sick. I got reset and lost, and you're like, yeah, you're trash. I'm like, yeah, thanks.
Sorry. Yeah, and I'm also screaming like, no resets, we need to go home.
Yeah, that was when I was in losers that time.
I'm sorry.
That was like the week before.
I'm a lot more tame now, especially with the ankle injury and stuff. I can't be running and screaming, losing my voice. Actually, you know what? Like,
you should tag me into the ring if you run it back.
I know, right? You'll be in the ring.
I'm definitely trying to get a cameo, you know?
We need to just give the judges entrances now and stuff, but... this game, like, from a tournament organizer standpoint, it's looking like 3 out of 5, isn't it? It looks kind of fast.
I don't know.
Really?
I don't know.
I mean, now it's defensive and
with
stuff.
With the slowed down pace,
you bitches are going to ask for 3 out of 5 anyways, but...
you know me. I'm going to...
We need to wait.
I'll be the voice of the community, you know, obviously, as they come through. But I'm not so sure it should be 3 out of 5 off the top. I need to look, too, because it's really slowed down. Now, obviously, we haven't got our hands on the game, and we don't know whether or not, you know, things are going to change between now and then. But currently, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, a Garrus player, like, oh, he's playing Garrus 2 out of 3. We don't want to have him stall.
Invoke the special rule.
How often can he do that shit? Did you pay attention?
I don't know. If it's a normal special move or
something. I saw
it's a
when he
thing.
Like, did the 4 second thing. Like, I saw the meter just lose one of the offensive meters and stuff.
So that may be tied to that. But the 30 seconds is that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
What happens if it's 30? Does it just go to 0? Or does it go to 0 and pause for
But if you're not already winning or dying by that by 30 seconds left, then something's
can
up.
Can you imagine the salt?
Can you imagine being able to do it twice in a match? Like, get 2 hits and then boom, 60 seconds gone.
Let's start the match with that.
Like, but they obviously bounced him. Like, he didn't look too crazy, but I love his move where he picks him up and
the command
runs
grab.
To the other. Yeah, other.
How sweet is that? Hey, look, guys, if you come from other traditional fighting games and you like your grapplers, Garrus's command grab move is back forward two. That's it.
Oh, wow. That's it. Being triangle, right? Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
So there's no more high punch, low punch, all that stuff, right? What is it now?
Oh, no, no.
Vertical, horizontal?
No, it's still there.
Oh, okay.
It's there. High punch, low punch. Block. Oh, it was forward punch, back punch, forward kick.
The one thing I did not like playing it is enhanced moves are now no longer you add block to something.
Yes.
It's now like Scorpion Spear, you got to hold up.
Yeah.
After you do, it's like, what?
That's kind of weird.
It's the same for that specific move, but you got to learn. And me personally, I've never been a fan of variations because I don't have that kind of time to learn all this shit.
Uh-huh.
But now, like with the variations, you can actually program which moves you're using.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes for tournament-wise. Apparently, Paulo said that we'll have preset ones for tournament play because obviously, and you know as much as I know, I'm not trying to run an event where someone's sitting there, oh, let me pick this move, pick that.
Yeah, yeah,
no.
Yeah. We did 3 out of 5, and I remember a lot of the judges at CEO Evo were like, this is taking forever, guys. Why are we doing 3 out of 5? Was it Injustice? I think it was Injustice.
Injustice was. It was crazy. It's like at the lower levels, it can drag. But like once you get into things, you know, top, whatever, it kind of goes. Unless you get like the dreaded like Starfire Mirror or whatever it is.
But I'm looking for an MK. I mean, the gore, it's always over the top, so you get used to it. I've seen a lot of complaints about like the cinematics. Like, I don't want to see a broken bone schematic, like cinematic, like 4 times in a round. Like, that's just overkill. I'm like, yeah, but the people watching, you know. At the end of the day, you need people to watch this stuff and pay attention to it. And enjoy it. But so yeah, MK11's coming out, guys. We gotta go. What are you doing the rest of the day, Frosty?
I have Soul Calibur Top 32 Losers to play and then commentary
there.
I'm using Zhang Hua, annoying women, man. Nice. That's my style. That's just what I do.
As well. He's the most annoying character.
Oh my god, yeah, that's why he got nerfed. Like
Sonic Fox still using him?
I don't think so.
Is he here this weekend?
He is not. So he's at Furry Con doing his thing. He's gearing up for Dragon Ball World Final, you know.
Smart guy. I unfortunately won't be there. Dragon Ball. I was the only American event, the Saga in America, Dragon Ball. So I won't be there. I the next 2 weeks is getting CEO registration up, man. February 1st, guys. And I'm thinking of making it like an official. February 1st is the day every year that registration goes live and announcing stuff. Just to like a brand's perspective and stuff. But yeah, I'm gonna go play Street Fighter V now. I actually got. Vitrix sent me the Bison, the number 1 out of 250 prototype.
That's
because
amazing.
My other prototype they gave me, I left it to somebody in India that was super helpful, and it changed his life. He's like, oh my god, thank you so much, because they'll never be able to get access to that.
Of course.
And I told him, like, hey, can you send me another one? Like, we're almost done with production, we're not going to have it in time. And he's like, I can send you the Bison prototype you saw only in a display case at Evo last year. I'm like, yeah. So they ship it to my house, weather delay. They reroute it up to Chicago, and I get it. And Mike Kionis, the guy in charge. So a little history of Frosty Faustings. Mm-hmm. Mike Kionis, the guy in charge, along with Elvin Shadow, awesome guy, group of guys. Mike actually handles my AV production at CEO. He also does it at Combo Breakers. Yes. So we're all connected. But he's also a TO. He also works in the music industry with Coheed and Cambria as a lighting director and stuff like that. So we always mess with each other, like, you know, Frosty Faustings is the premier anime event. Like, then why do you have more non-anime games than, you know, anime? See, Otago is the only anime-dedicated event.
I'm not getting involved in that.
Yeah, no. It's just funny to do now. But
absolutely.
This event's awesome, dude. Over 1,000 players. Like, it's actually top 10 biggest FGC events now outside of a Smash event. And just seeing that. So, yeah, I'm here just to compete the rest of the day. But KP, man, I'm excited for MK11 to work with you. I hope the Crypt comes back bigger than better. I'm sure they will, because that's the best single-player content any game history. It'll just be funny if, like, yeah, you got to unlock these moves in the Crypt. Like, fuck that.
Oh, my God.
I know. They won't do that.
Rage?
I mean, they evolved the tournament perspective in Injustice 2 with the gear system.
Yes.
Every time you picked a character in tournament mode, it would randomize their costume.
Yeah.
So you had a character looking completely different every round, and that was amazing for the game.
Yes.
It kept it from being the same costume over and over, and we've lost color identity. So, but yeah, you and I could probably talk about everything forever, but dude, awesome to hear your history, everything. Any last words for the stream, man? Damn it, podcast.
April 23rd, man, that's it, MK11, all systems go, and then February 1st, CEO registration, you know, it's not my event, but I feel like it, you know, it's my home, so I'm ready just as much as you are to, you know, put on another show.
Yeah, and then I got all the DreamHacks, definitely going to, already talking to bring Mortal Kombat 11 to DreamHack events, will be great, because, I also decide those games, I have so much power!
They don't let me play at DreamHack, so it's all good.
Yeah, so yeah, we have a rule,
yeah.
I can't even play for fun, even though I'm not going to win any money, but if you're getting paid by DreamHack, you're not allowed to enter tournaments, it's an esports thing.
No, for sure.
It. But yeah, all right, we got 4 minutes till our noon pools.
Yes.
Guys, thank you for listening to this episode of the Japodcast. Don't know who I'm going to pull on next. It's always going to an event like, hey, you got 30 minutes. But this was an awesome podcast, dude. Awesome talking to you and stuff. So thank you guys for listening. It is middle of January. Next up for me is to relax. I actually, this is the first time announcing it. Actually, no, I announced on Twitter briefly. I'm going to Australia, Melbourne, Australia, next month, mid-February, to host Pokken Tournament at their Pokemon Oceania thing. So thank you to Pokemon for always wanting me to be a part of that and run Pokken Tournament. They actually, real quick, changed from a 1v1 format to 3v3.
Yeah.
And the community's kind of split on it. I like it for a four-year-old game. Kind of changes things up. It makes people learn new characters. It'll be fun. But it's going to be like CVS2, where their best character is the last character, and everyone just gets to that last character anyways. Because you actually carry your health over. You only get a little bit left.
Really?
It's not a fresh start.
See, I haven't looked through the mechanics.
So,
only
yeah, it's just like CVS2, basically. It just takes a lot longer with your assist choosing and stuff. But thanks for tuning in, guys. Until next time, thank you.